Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome to Christ in All Things. I am Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Schockman. We are meeting today to reflect on reflecting Christ. Part two of our conversation with the Reverend Dr. District President Nathan Metter, talking about stewardship and how maybe we've...
Of what?
Yes. And so today, we're reflecting on episode two of Reflecting Christ, which is, of what are we stewards? We have joining us in the Christ in All Things studio today two of our congregational members, Paul Junio and Dale Stradel. Paul, would you tell us a little bit about your life at St. Paul's?
Life at St. Paul's started as the non-member parent of three young boys and an ex-wife, and well, you know,
and now you are,
and now I'm the one here, and they are not. I'm trying to work on that, but that's baby steps. I am now the second vice president of the congregation.
And Dale,
I'm an active member. 2.5 years I've been here, attending and also helping teach stewardship.
Yeah, we haven't elected you to anything yet.
I am not elected to any position, but I am teaching, and right now we started the first Financial Peace University Wednesday evenings.
Which kind of falls into the other thing that I've asked you to help me with, is organizing and kind of detailing how we're going to collectively go after missions.
Correct.
And evangelism. And the things that we teach because of the gospel that has been given to us. So today, gentlemen, we want to talk about what you heard and what you were experiencing and learning as you listened to the second part of Reflecting Christ, of what are we stewards. So we're looking for maybe like 3 to 5 things from each of you about what you learned.
So I'll start out with, I love the way that he explained it being a struggle, that it doesn't come naturally to us. Stewardship, I think he stated, it's impossible for us to be the steward we were intended to be because of our fallen, sinful nature. So that struggle is natural because we can't do what we were intended to do. And that, you find some peace in that, it doesn't come as naturally as you think, so struggling with it isn't a bad thing. That could be a good thing, making you're in the right spot.
I agree. Paul, what stood out for you?
Right off the bat, stewardship has always been the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. And it's not about just that. We're stewards of all creation. Put forth in the Garden of Eden and take care of creation, and then we fell.
All of it, right?
So not just the garden, all of it.
So it's not your time and your talents and your treasure, because
none of it belongs to me. It all came from God, and all comes from God, and all belongs to God.
All of it.
It's not mine. It's mine to return to him.
Right. So everything that we have and everything that we are is your favorite kind of cheese.
Sure.
Yeah. Nachos.
Cheese that's not to move. Okay. Nachos.
Had to get a dad joke in there early on. I mean, why not?
Hey, I do what I can. I know it's not much.
That's a really it's a really, really, really big deal, though, isn't it? That, and to receive that, you know, you, off air, you were Pastor Shockman, you were talking about the importance of, as it were, allowing, you know, the Holy Spirit allowing it to bring us to repentance. And in a way, Paul, it sounds to me like you're saying this, right? This gift of God is realizing that, you know, we've used this language of mine, but it's actually not. It's God's, and Dr. Matter-Lot says he entrusted us with it.
We are not in the Bible. It's not about us. But it takes a long time for that realization of returning it to him to come to people. It took me a long time for it to come. And, I mean, I would famously joke in the past, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to look behind the curtain. I'm happy being that guy in the pew. And then something changed. And, yeah, here I am. Yeah. And enjoying it.
Yeah.
And can't imagine not doing this, being involved.
And so, for again, you, the top thing was, it's not just time, talent, and treasure. It's the whole thing.
It's the whole thing. It's everything. Find out what you're good at, be involved in it, and offer that in addition to all the rest. Be here, be supportive, and write a check every now and again. You know, sorry, well, that comes with it.
And we'll talk more about that, because I want to, we'll come back to that. Dale, what's number two?
But like Paul said, find out what you're good at, but Dr. Matter also made the point of stating that it's not for us to find out or create that stewardship. Let the Holy Spirit work within you and let it come to you that way, and you'll be good at something. You may not even know it or appreciate it, but it's there, and let that time or talent that's given to you, let that flow, and that's part of the stewardship as well.
Yeah, in my real-world job, I deal with regulation a lot. And so when I got asked to help out with the Constitution and bylaws, I'm like, you might not want me doing this because I'm going to bring a different perspective. But then as we got going and got into it, it's like, okay, this is fun. I can tie the real-world stuff in with the church stuff and have a bigger picture of what goes on.
I am so glad, so glad that you said Constitution and bylaws are fun, because they are not for me. They cause me consternation, and I get lost in making sure that we say in the Constitution and bylaws exactly what we mean and no more than what we mean, and I get chugged up in the details that I get lost in trying to manage what all this means if I'm the one editing or evaluating. Like the elders just went through our annual review of the elders policy manual, and this year it was my turn as one of the pastors to be a part of that conversation. And man, there are so many things in there, right? I'm like, wait, do we really mean that? Because if we mean that, then we can't do this. And if we include this, then that means we got to change some of the stuff that we do. Like one of them you highlighted last year was, if we really mean this, that means the CLT and the Board of Elders and the Board of Operations and the Board of Education annually need to take a retreat and do some work together. I don't know that that's going to happen.
So Paul Junio gets really excited about the Constitution, and Pastor Shockman goes all jazz on it.
He has
to riff.
Oh my goodness! No, I just get lost in it.
But isn't that part of what we're just talking about? We're
exactly.
Wired differently for different things, and so not to follow. I don't need to do that because someone else is doing that. I need to do what I can do or what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And recognizing that is all part of it.
Yeah. So I love being able to hand things like that off to Paul Junio and say, man, you weed through the details of this because I just get lost in it.
But there are different levels of doing that. And there are certain people that are, everything for me comes back to sports all too often. There are certain people that are good at starting a baseball game, and there are certain people that are good at closing. In terms of regulation, there are certain people that can give you the good rough draft of the starting point, and then there are certain people you turn that over to and say, now pretty this up, finish this thing. And so from what you're describing, you're doing a good job of getting the draft together, and maybe it's somebody else that's got to make sure that all of the loose ends are tied together. So you can do this. You just got to be hit over the head with it.
Like everything in life, I'm really good to about 75%, and then somebody else needs to finish it.
You know, but that is a strength that some people don't have. Yeah. I could never start a crossword puzzle, but I was pretty good at finishing them.
Oh.
And to me, in thinking about this and in trying to get the train at least marginally back on the track,
I think
this is about where, you know, we're stewards of everything, but we are to, I think where you began, Dale, is that we're imperfect, and together something, you know, the Lord makes something happen.
Going back to what Dale said, recognize what you're good at and do that, because we've got the rest of us to lean on that have other strengths, and together we can do this.
And that's another big thing, is being part of a group, being part of a congregation. You get more done as a group than you'll ever get done individually.
Nodding doesn't come across well on the radio.
It doesn't.
No, but I'm nodding.
I mean,
sometimes you can
hear my brain rattle when I nod, but yeah.
So I'm curious, what else stood out for you?
Stewardship is not about giving a gift, because again, none of this is ours in the first place. So we're not being magnanimous and giving to the church or to the food pantry or to whatever the donation of the month might be. We are literally returning to God what is His. And that scared the daylights out of me when I first started doing it, because I'm like, I need this money. I've got to get to my next paycheck. And as I've given more, I've gotten more back, not just spiritually.
It's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't make any sense, but hey, it works. I mean, I sound like a Ponzi scheme when I'm doing that. And that's not where I'm going. but you know, it's good. The ability to give to the church financially, as well as with the strengths that I have, is such a change for me from where I was 10 years ago.
Sure.
And it's fantastic. I love it. Highly recommended.
And then going back to this episode again, it's not about giving back to the church constantly or doing that. It's about the neighbor. And again, it's about being that stewardship of what Christ has done for us and letting that flow through us, out of us, to the neighbor. So,
which goes back to something Paul said a minute ago, that it's not about you.
Absolutely. The gospel's for you, not about you. And that's Dr. Metter stated in the podcast as well.
Yeah.
And as he said, when you're buying the Glazers, he had a better accent than I do. When you're buying the Glazers and there's that person across the counter or next to you or behind, wherever, that doesn't look just like you, God died for that person as well. That person that you cut off on the freeway today, or that person that cut you off, God cared enough to die for that person also. And we need to remember that in our interactions in the real world, because then it kind of tones us down a little bit. And it's not, again, all about me.
Yeah, it's the flowing out from you. And he stated very strongly, it starts at home. It starts at you and your spouse. It starts with you and your children. You start there, and then it flows out to the neighbor outside of that. So that's that constant looking outside of yourself, not about you, not looking inward, but the flowing out. And that's the light, to be the mirror that reflects the light of Christ.
We've talked a fair amount about, you know, giving back, as it were, in something that you're good at. But something you just said, Dale, struck me. You know, you talked about being a parent. I don't think most of us are good at parenting from the get-go. And this is a point, you know, that sometimes the Holy Spirit, you know, you know, your first child comes, he gave you the vocation of parent. You aren't good at it. I mean, some of us are come to this a little bit more naturally and have better life experience beforehand, but you weren't good at it.
It's on the job training.
But a lot
you're
of
learning as you go.
I wanted the parents' manual and we were leaving the hospital. I'm like, we're going home with this and you're not, there's no parents' manual? What am I doing here?
So my point is, and I know Pastor Shachman, you want to chime in here, but I want to make sure for our listeners that for whom this subject is relatively new. And you think, well, I'm not good at anything, or you know. Sometimes in the life of the church, in the life of a family, that we'll see something, and you, why don't you help? And in our initial response is to say, I can't do that. I don't know anything about that. But how many stories, you know, I'm thinking back to our interview with Cheryl Tesh, you know, some time ago. You know, for you listeners, go back and you know. Cheryl was at a point in her life where she was really struggling with something, and you know, and it wasn't Nestler that her person on the top of the list to be asked for this, but somebody said, "Help us out with this," and it turned out that she had a number of gifts that the Lord has used in the church for decades now. So if you're listening to this and hearing the stewardship of the creation, I'll do what I'm good at, and you're thinking, "Well, I'm not good at that, or I'm not good at this, or I'm not good at the other thing," well. You know, maybe sometimes the Lord will put something somebody in your place and say, come along and let's try this together.
And I get drawn from there back into scripture with like the story of Gideon, where God calls Gideon to go and lead my army. And it's not going to be 30,000 and it's not going to be 3,000. It's going to be 300. And I'm the one that's going to get the glory, Gideon, not you. It's not about you, Gideon. It's about me. But I'm giving this to you to do. I'm entrusting this to you to go and lead the men while I provide the victory. That there's so much truth in that for us. Again, you're not in the Bible. The Bible's not about you. The Bible's about Jesus for you. But God does the same stuff today that he's always done.
But Lord, I don't know what to say. I'll speak for you.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you Aaron. Aaron will speak for you, Moses. Oh, ye who stutters, right? How many different examples from Scripture can we pull out like that, where God, we jest and say, you know, well, God doesn't call the equipped; he equips the called. And I don't even think it's that much as it is. God doesn't call the equipped. God calls and then God does it.
You just have to show up there for it.
Oh, you just got to show up, right? But again, it comes back to it's not about you, but we want it to be about us. Our sinful nature wants the glory. We want the credit. We want the pat on the back and the. We were talking about this earlier today, Pastor O'Donnell. The affirmation,
the recognition.
You know, we want the oh, you're so pretty. No. It's God that gets the glory. And he doesn't intend to share it. His glory.
It's his. It's right. Not ours.
And yet, he invites us to partake of it in the resurrection, mm-hmm. in the life of the world to come.
That is, and I want to hope we get back to these guys, but that is lived right now. You know, right now. And it's not just a someday. And you know, this was part of Dr. Metter's thing. Right now, we participate I remember this is the tail end of this episode. Right now, the reconciliation has occurred. We're part of this. All the stewardship of all of everything is ultimately about is our stewardship of the good news of Christ.
Yeah,
all the things that we do. So sorry for my soapbox there, but
not at all. That you don't fall on repentance enough. You grasp for those things again to get that glory or to get something about you. You cling to things of this world because that's what you relate to, instead of just falling on the repentance that you get from Christ's death. And once you go through that and you humble yourself and you become, you know, pray to be that, you know, that new clay that can be formed as he needs to form you. If you allow that to happen, you can be one of the best stewards in areas you probably never dreamt of.
Just try.
I'm looking across at you, Paul, here, and thinking there was something else that stuck out to you that was funny, and why does that bring you joy? Something Dr. Metter said just made you chuckle.
Oh, it was because it was The Princess Bride, and if you don't know that movie, we can't be friends. Okay, that's a bit of a lie, but. There are so many good things in that movie. It's a love story that's got hijinks in it, that's got all sorts of fun, and it's got the reproducible phrases.
What was the phrase that he said? I don't remember. Do you remember, Pastor Shockman?
Good gravy. What one did he use? There are so many. It was not inconceivable. It's not related to that. That word does not mean what you think it means. It's not as you wish, which is shorthand for I love you.
Yeah. It was talking about death. Dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Totally dead.
Mostly dead. Yeah. Mostly dead. When death is only good for one thing. Nothing. You're dead. Mostly dead is not all dead. If there's mostly dead, there's still a little bit of life. Yeah. If they're all dead, just search the pockets for some change. Which...
Thank you,
give
Billy
to the
Crystal.
And what was? Remind me, what was this about in the conversation in the context of that conversation with Dr. Metter?
Dead and
sin. Does anybody remember?
Death and
then
sin.
We were dead and sin.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And not. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Not mostly dead. Dead.
All dead.
Yeah. All dead. And again, that comes back to what we think of ourselves and what we make of ourselves, and especially when it comes to stewardship, because we're trying to make it about us.
And we are dead in our trespasses and sins, so how can it be about us if we don't let that work happen within us?
Yeah.
Because that's our nature.
So
we want it to be about me.
So we've mentioned several times, right, that it's not about you, that we're dead in our trespasses. It's the most natural thing in the world for us to be selfish, to not be... givers, to not be generous with who we are and what we're given. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit then to bring us to repentance so that we stop rejecting this call, this vocation, this work of stewardship that is engendered in us by the gospel, which ultimately comes back to it's all about Jesus. You know, the simple Sunday school answer that we started with, Dale.
Yes.
Right? It really is all about Jesus. Every bit of stewardship is about the gospel. Every bit of the life that we share together in the body of Christ is about the gospel. Right? It's not about paying the light bill or meeting the mortgage payment or keeping the lights on or pretty flowers in the garden or any of the other things that churches spend money on.
I thought you were talking about my house.
Or that too.
Well, right? Amen.
Even our homes, right? Mm-hmm. As Christians, even our homes are all about Jesus. Or could be.
Should be.
So Dale, you got a big pile of notes here. I'm curious, what else do you have in your notes there?
I liked how he talked about he made a few references. If you hire someone to build a bedroom and the walls aren't plumb, the roof leaks. Then he also talked about your betting habits and working at the bank.
Yes.
Exactly. And so with both of those, it ends up, you know, you're going to get fired. You do a bad job, you're going to get fired. And do you expect to be hired back by that person, like when you get out of jail or when you're done? You don't. But again, that's why we can't relate, because that's what Jesus is constantly there, is forgiving us, inviting us back. And that's why it's so unrelatable to us. We always want our pound of flesh. We hold a grudge. We can't get to that place as easily as we should.
Let's finish that thought in that analogy, just to repeat it for those. And if you haven't listened to episode 2 with Dr. Metter, you should do that. But what he said is, basically, you know, imagine you misused your position, you robbed a bank or what have you, you're going to show up for jail, and somebody shows up and took the sentence for you. And not only did they take the sentence
sentence when you left. Your wife and children weren't there. The president of the bank was there saying you start your job on Monday.
So you get your job back. Yeah. And I'm thinking about, Dale, we're trying to teach stewardship in a number of different ways. We have the podcast with Dr. Metter. We did some Bible class. We have the financial piece. We're going to do some more teaching in the future. It strikes me as, so if you're listening to this and you're feeling unworthy, well, here's the thing. The Lord Jesus has forgiven you. And guess what? He says, here. You're my steward.
Yeah, you can start today, and the first thing you can do, you might not be good at anything, try forgiving someone, just like he did to you. That's a great place to start your stewardship. That's what he wants you to do. Forgive your neighbor.
Because ultimately, it's all about
him.
Jesus.
Not me.
For you.
You're new to the faith, or relatively new to it, and chances are you've struggled with something, and you may struggle with harboring some bitterness toward some things, some people, some things that happened to you in the past. What's one of the first things you can do? It really struck me as you said that, is forgive.
Yeah, it costs you nothing.
Give it over to Jesus and accept it and act more like him. Forgive like him, love like him.
This is just, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. God made him who knew no sin, Jesus, on the cross to be your sin, that in him, in Jesus, you will be the forgiving righteousness of God. That is what we are given to steward, chiefly forgiveness. And we'll see you next time on Christ in All Things.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift,
but it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straw
for the useful but perhaps pretentious beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping and a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping and an elegant Christ in All Things leather folio, handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want, and we'll record Christ in All Things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.